Janice, we won't be following too closely from this passage, but it is a great prayer, I think, for the end, once we get to the end of our sermon today. As you may be aware, we have been going through this Advent series as we look forward to scarily Christmas time already. Only in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be remembering our time of Jesus coming as a baby, an infant, to be the saviour of the world. What does that mean for us as we look forward to an idea or a time of hope, a time of love, a time of joy, and a time of peace? Now, we've gone through hope and love for the last couple of weeks. Today, we'll be focusing on a topic of joy. Let me pray, and then we can have a look at this idea of joy together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of year where we can have a bit of rest, more importantly, that we can look forward to and remember to your coming in this time of Christmas. Father, in the midst of our busyness, Lord, we ask that you will still our hearts and our minds, that we may look to you and to reflect on what it means for you to come and to be our Savior. Lord, we thank you for these times that we have together. We ask that you will change our hearts today and mold us in the ways that you wish. May you open our minds and our ears that we may hear your word and be moved by your spirit as well. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen. If you don't know what brings you joy, start with things close to your heart. Marie Kondo sparked joy. Now, some of you are smiling at the idea of Marie Kondo. For those of you that don't know who Marie Kondo is, she had her own Netflix series in the back of 2019. She calls herself an organizing consultant. Not an organization consultant, an organizing consultant, where she goes around and helps people tidy up their houses, to throw out their junks, and to help them organize their life in a way that is bringing more joy. And the way she does that is she has a philosophy that goes around and says, does this thing that you have spark joy? When you hold it close to your heart, do you feel a sense of connection or closeness or joy with this piece of clothing or with this piece of equipment? And if you don't, then you know you can discard it. Only keep the things that really spark joy in your life. Now, this series, I know some of you watched it and were really excited about it, were hugely popular. Now, I think in one sense, I think because of the Japanese quirkiness that people really, you know, enjoy and like. But there's also a bit of a refreshing contrast to a culture of mass consumption. In a world that we're living in, the Western society, where we're told to always shop and to buy more things and to accumulate, that happiness or joy is to be found in owning more things in our lives. But this idea of discarding or minimalism, of finding joy in having less things, seems to run against that. But I think there is a bit more to this desire of joy. This commonness where people want to have more in their life than to have the simple pleasures of buying or owning things. These momentary teasers of happiness. To seek a satisfaction that is more profound in the things that we own, more enduring and more longer lasting, that reaches deeper within inside of us. Now, maybe Marie Kondo has some idea of seeking joy in the lesser things that we have. But perhaps we can also look to C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is a Christian theologian at the beginning of the 20th century. And he says in his book, joy is distinct not only from pleasure in general, but even from aesthetic pleasure. It must have a stab, the pang, the inconsolable longing. So what he's saying is that it is not just simple pleasures that we feel day to day. Joy is not just the emotions of happiness or glad feelings that we feel day from day. There is a stab, a pang of what he calls an inconsolable longing. That is something that reaches deep within the depths of our hearts, deeper than our surface emotions that we feel day to day. And because it reaches deeper within us, there is a greater effect within us. It is more sustaining and more fulfilling. And I like the way that he uses the word inconsolable longing. That it is a yearning for us for something more. A yearning that cannot be simply satisfied by the daily mundane pleasures of this world. Now, this idea of joy can be very difficult for us to put into words, to describe exactly what it is. But for each of us, when we find it, when we experience true joy in our hearts, we know exactly that it is joy. We experience that sense of satisfaction that is within us, that enduring sweetness that does not diminish. Sure, we may neglect that source of joy for a time, but its shine never grows dull. Happiness or pleasure depends on my changing mood day to day. There is a permanence when we consider what joy is in our lives. Joy that truly satisfies the inner recesses of our hearts. Joy can bring contentment. It can bring peace or assurance in our lives, happiness and even hope. But it is more than each of these things individually or even combined. The way I like to think about joy is that it is the satisfaction of the soul. It is not just the emotions we feel from each day, the simple pleasures that comes and goes, but it fills a void that is deep within us and brings us fulfillment. Now, one of the sources of our joy recently has been our newborn son, Ezra. Now, of course, he cries and he poops, and to be honest, he makes us frustrated to no end at times. And you know, in the beginning of prenatal classes, they say, if you feel like shaking your child, just walk away from the child. And Jess and I thought to ourselves, we would never feel that way. But let me tell you, in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., when he won't stop crying, you know you've got an early morning next day, you just want to grow into the next room and run away. But as frustrated and all these emotions that comes up in us never stops, our experiences of him is much deeper than that. He never for one moment stops being a source of joy for Jess and I. Each day may be different to, you know, how we feel about him and how we're feeling ourselves, but who he is and what he means to us doesn't change. He brings a satisfaction deep within us that goes beyond our surface emotion. I believe for each of us, this idea of joy is a common pursuit. For every one of us sitting here today, no matter what it is that we do day to day, at the bottom of the reasonings of why we do the things that we do, is because we want joy. We want that satisfaction in our soul that doesn't go away. Whether you're young or old, educated, uneducated, rich or poor, you still want joy. You could be the most powerful, most wealthy person in the world, yet your desires in the same satisfaction of true joy is in the same way as a helpless beggar on the side of the street. We all have the same desire to fill this gap within us, a longing for something lasting. It's important and is needed. And I mean, we know this. We know we need joy. That's not the problem here. The problem is, how do we get it? How do we get joy that lasts and sustains us for the rest of our lives? How do we find joy that just doesn't just disappear even overnight? Where can we find it? It's often like trying to grasp at water. As soon as we get it, it drains through our hands and disappears. The more we get, the more faster it flows away. For many of us, it becomes an endless pursuit of something that will bring us permanent joy. It could be entertainment, parties, friends, sport, food, holidays, travels, shopping, someone to date, sex, alcohol, or drugs. Doesn't matter what it is, we're all looking for something that will satisfy. A shot of happiness that will last more than just a little while or to distract away from our deeper need of a permanent and sustaining joy. So what do? We move from one thing to the next and simply ask for more. Maybe the next thing will last, or maybe more will be enough. And it never ceases to end this chase of satisfaction of our soul. The thirst that sits within us never seems to be contented away with permanently. Pascal, the triangle guy, I actually forgotten the formula now. It's the right angle one, isn't it? Oh, come on, high schoolers. He says, there once was an inner man, a true happiness, of which now remains to him only the mark or an empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all his surroundings, seeking from things absent the help he does not obtain in things present. Now he's French, so it's a little confusing, but what he's trying to say is that there is a mark of emptiness or a trace that is within us, almost like an echo. Like we can hear it, but it's not the true source of things that we know there is something missing deep within us. A joy that needs to be found. A longing for deeper happiness. But this search that we go on is wasted because the joy that we seek cannot be found in the things around us. What is missing or what is absent cannot be found in the things that is with us. The things that we want are not with the things that we have. See, we Christians are not exempt from this pursuit of joy as well. We often wonder, should we engage in this pursuit of joy? Should we want to be satisfied in this way? I believe that Scripture agrees and even supports this pursuit of joy. It is even biblical for us to chase joy. If you do a quick flip through in your Bible, you realize very quickly there's actually a very heavy emphasis on joy. In the Bible, there are 400 plus mentions of the various forms of joy, as in, you know, rejoicing or enjoying. In Psalms especially, these joy are turned into praises. Joy is a big deal in the Bible, and joy matters in the lives of Christians. Proverbs tells us, a joyful heart is a good medicine. But, I can't read it, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. See, joy is good for us as a person as a whole. It brings life and energy into our very being. But anyone who has been through a period of prolonged depression, a life without joy, you will know how difficult each day is without joy. To carry that sense of burden or heaviness in your heart. See, the Bible doesn't just tell us that this is a human condition. The Bible actually gives us the remedy of this desire for joy as well. Psalm is the place to turn to if you ever want to find joy. 37:4 tells us, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The answer to the joy that we need is to find our delight in the Lord. He actually says to take it from the Lord, who is that source of joy, to ask him for it and to find our joy in him. 16:11 says, you make known to me with path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Simply being with God in his presence, his very companionship in our lives brings us joy. And this well-known verse in 42:1 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? This thirst of ours is ultimately a thirst for God. The things that we desire to chase on earth is ultimately pointing us to God himself. And that's why Psalm always tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Our relationship with the Lord God is like we're being with him, that we are to experience it with our whole being, that we can taste personally and see him, how good he is. And even his words are sweet to our mouths, sweeter than honey to us. And of course, 43:4 tells us that I will go to the altar of God, to God, who is my joy and my delight. And I will praise you, O God, my God. The joy that we find in God, our Lord, turns our hearts into praise. See, our Christian pursuit for joy ultimately takes us to God himself. He is the joy that completely satisfies our soul. He is the one who will delight us each day. He is the one who will fill that gap that is within us, our longing for something more. In the Bible, it tells us that God actually desires our joys to be satisfied in him. He wants us to fill that gap within us, but in the right way in him. So the problem is not that we need joy. But we seek it in all the wrong places. We're seeking it in the places that are not permanent. We're seeking it in the places that are giving us false sense of joys. The rightful place, the scripture tells us, is that it is in God himself. The passage, the quote we saw from Pascal before, he ends actually with this, that echo, that longing for something more. But these things around us are all inadequate because the infinite abyss can only be filled with an infinite and immutable object. That is to say, only by God himself. The reason the things around us doesn't fill our desire for joy permanently or even to the extent that we want it to, it's just because it's not great enough for that chasm that is within us. We need God, who is that great immutable God. How great the need for joy can only be fully satisfied by our great God. And God wants us to find our joy in him. And I think that tells us that God actually wants us to enjoy him. And I want us to pause and reflect on this for a moment. I want you to think, how does this statement make you feel? To enjoy him. Not just the things that he brings, not just the benefits, not just, you know, forgiveness, salvation. Those things are important and good, and they do come from God. But how does it make you feel to want to enjoy God himself? Just as Psalm says in a similar vein before, surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with joy of your presence. Merely knowing him, being with him, in his presence, being close to him in your relationship, brings joy. And of course, as we approach this time of Christmas, we remember the great announcement the angels brought. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The presence of Jesus amongst his people brings joy not just in salvation, but also in his presence amongst his people. That we can come close to him. So there was a time, I think for me in my life, that the idea of enjoying God was very foreign to me. It was almost jarring to me. It almost sounded sacrilegious for me to think that I can go and enjoy God. Maybe it was the way, how I grew up in Hong Kong, church was. It was all very formal and proper. There was always an air of seriousness. I remember, everyone on stage would be wearing robes and, you have the reverend at the front and behind them would be seated all the elders in these wooden throne chairs. It was all very serious. And so that, I think, in some way played with my relationship with God, that it was formal and serious. It felt like it was at arm's length. Whatever I did, going to church, prayer, ministries, it almost felt like a sense of duty and obedience. Because God was God, I had to do these things. The idea of enjoying God felt like it might have trivialized God or dishonored his majesty or something in that way. How wrong I was. A great painting, if you imagine, is honored at most when we enjoy it for its beauty. A piece of music is honored when it's enjoyed for its ability to move a listener's heart. Or, God is most honored when we enjoy him for who he is. His beauty, his majesty, his glory and his power, his love and his mercy. Not just any of these things individually, but altogether that makes who God is in our lives. Enjoying God moved my relationship with God from being out of duty and obedience to that of joy and following. See, following a distant God without a passion then moved into one that takes delight in the Lord. Instead of my relationship with God being burdensome, it actually became refreshing. It became satisfying to my soul. Now, or maybe we can consider this idea of enjoying God in our relationships or in marriage. Take for a moment. Imagine on a Sunday night, we're all quite busy on Sundays. I go, Jess, let's go out to Alva Sushi, her favorite Japanese place down the road. Which is unusual because usually Sunday we're both so tired or I'm so tired that we want to stay home. And so she asked why. And imagine I say to her, it is my duty as your husband to do the things that you like. You can imagine she would not be pleased or feel honored or, you know, in our marriage at all. But imagine if I said, I find joy in spending time with you and enjoying our relationship together. Now that will honor our marriage. That would make her feel like that there is true enjoyment between us. If our human relationships flourishes with enjoyment of that relationship, how could we expect any less from our relationship with God? See, God is honored when his people finds joy and delight in him. In the words of Jonathan Edwards, he says, God is glorified not only by his glory being seen, but by its being rejoiced in. God is honored not just being known by us, but also when we find joy in him. See, this is what Jesus means when he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He tells us all these things that we may know him and come to him in relationship, that our enjoyment may be found complete in him. He is the completer of our joy and a satisfier of our soul. When we find that enjoyment in our relationship with God, when we feel that we can actually enjoy the time that we spend worshiping him and coming to him each day, we can be transformed by it. It is not something that we know or learn about each Sunday, but it becomes a part of our lives. We are transformed as a whole persons in our values, our goals, and our perspectives. Paul, who was once a zealous Pharisee, after knowing Jesus, he's able to say to us, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Like the man who found treasure in his field, he's out of his joy, he sold everything and bought that field. Paul found his joy and his treasure in Christ, and everything seemed worthless in comparison. His joy and his satisfaction was in knowing more and becoming closer to Jesus. But not only our relationship with God changes, but also our relationship with other people. Paul also says, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Christ's joy is also shared and experienced in our relationship with our brothers and sisters. When someone we love or care about commits to God, it brings joy to our life. When a brother or sister grows in their love of Jesus, it brings joy in our life as well. When we see someone else finding joy in God, it brings us joy. See, with the joy of Christ, our relationship with each other moves from one that is only earthly into one that is divine. A joy that permeates throughout each day of our lives and reaches within deep of our hearts. And as some of you may have experienced as well, this joy has the power to transform our trials and our sufferings. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Consider it pure joy? I mean, in any other circumstances, this would seem almost insensitive or cruel to face trials and persecutions and to consider it a pure joy. But that's what Christ does for believers. It satisfies the souls even in the midst of trials. Even when life gets difficult, even when there seems to be no end to the darkness that we face each day. Because our joy in Christ leads us to our hope in Christ. Our hope that trials will one day end and sufferings will cease. And that day will bring us to enjoy him forever. Even trials and sufferings are transformed by our joy in knowing our Lord and Savior. And of course, most importantly, our joy in knowing the Lord should move our hearts into praise and worship. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with song I praise Him. With the knowing of God and the experience of true joy in Him, we can't be helped but be moved to praise. We can't help but to sing and to tell others how great our God is. Back to C.S. Lewis. He says, all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. Lovers praising their partners, readers their favorite poets, walkers praising the countryside. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because that praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation. Our enjoyment and our love for God is completed, is made whole when we worship God from the bottom of our hearts. When we experience the joy of God in our lives, it is turned into praise and worship. Not just in songs, but in everything that we do. In everything that we do, we point to others and say, look how great and wonderful He is. How beautiful His love and His mercy is. How wonderful that He calls us His. And we come together each Sunday. Worship is not the act of just singing or reading or even sitting and listening to what I'm saying. Worship is us finding joy in our Lord and Savior. He is honored when we enjoy Him because it magnifies His glory in us and in this world. He wishes for us to enjoy and have this deep relationship with Him. He is not a distant God that just sent His Son, saved us, and retreated. Now He wants us to build a relationship with Him. When I believed in a dispassionate God, I was a dispassionate believer. We need a God who is passionate for us. And the more we read Scripture, the more we realize He is nothing if not passionate for His people. Imagine if He did all those things for us, or you know, His whole salvation mission, just because He had to. That wouldn't move us to follow Him. That wouldn't move us to love Him at all. But thankfully, as Scripture reveals to us, He is a God that loves His people, that desires His people's enjoyment of Him, that wants His people to be close to Him day to day. The challenge I set before you and myself as believer is to pursue joy. And I'm not talking about the daily joys, the things that just merely distracts us from real life. But to pursue real joy in Lord our Savior Jesus. Yes, there are good things in our lives. There are even things that are fun and enjoyable and pleasurable. Things that are good. You know, friendships and relationships can indeed be fulfilling. You know, ask Jess, you know, she'll tell you how many hobbies I have, and hobbies can be fun. Work can indeed be meaningful, and holidays can be rejuvenating. But know that each of these things will not completely satisfy our souls. These things that we have each day are merely signposts. Signposts along this road in our lives and pointing us towards the joy giver, that is Christ Himself. These signposts are appreciated in pointing us towards God and to show us that God is the one who blesses us with these things, but they are not the destination. We shouldn't stop and stare and be enamored by these signposts. We continue on in these paths towards true destination of joy in Jesus. Continue on to pursue real permanent joy, a joy that is so soul satisfying in Christ Jesus. His beauty and His perfection. To enjoy His wonders in the works of His hands. To experience and enjoy the depths and His unfailing love. To remember the freedom of His grace and His mercy. To be in all of His glory and His majesty, His power and authority, and still He calls us his brother and sister, his very own. So going back to the beginning of Marie Kondo, you know, organizing, decluttering, trying to find joy in the things that sparks joy in people's lives. I think there is some, you know, merit to a tidy life and all that. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's a bit like wringing water out of a wet cloth. You'll get some out of it, but in the end, you only get so much before it runs dry. And, you know, she acknowledges that, you know, even these things ultimately will come to an end and you'll throw them out when they stop sparking joy. And even the term sparks is really just temporary and fleeting anyway. But Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our God who calls us to take delight in him, is like a never-ending fountain of living water in a dry and barren land. In our desperation, in our need for joy, he quenches our thirst. And every drink from him, from this day to the last, is every bit as crisp and refreshing as the first. That's why Psalm 34:8 can tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because he is forever good. I'm going to leave you with one more quote. C.S. Lewis in the essay, The Weight of Glory. MJ loves this quote. Lewis says, "If we consider the unblushing promise of reward and the staggering nature of the reward promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I think for many of us, Lewis gets it spot on. Our problem is not that we desire too much, but it's that we're too easily satisfied by the fleeting things that the world throws at us each day. We are contented with the little, you know, temporary shots of distractions we face. Let me encourage you to not settle for these lesser joys. Don't settle for just having distractions in your life. Don't settle for just passing fads that are gone the next day. But pursue infinite joy. To ask God to restore to you the joy of your salvation and to grant us a willing spirit and to sustain us. What is your joy today? Where is it that you think are the source of your joy? I'm going to take some time in prayer. There is that Slido code of CABC if you'd like to submit a question. But to take this time in prayer and to search in your hearts and to ask God to reveal himself to you. To ask him to help us to taste and see his goodness. To find joy in this time of Christmas. Jesus, how wonderful it is that you call us to be yours. That in the midst of everything in our lives, Lord, you know us and you search for us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we are so easily satisfied and forget who you are. Help us in all these things to be thankful to you and to know that you are the bottom of all these joys. Lord, help us not to be distracted, but to seek our satisfaction in you and you alone. Lord, we ask that you will transform our lives that we may overflow with joy. that others around us will see what greatness there is that you offer. Help us to indeed to be bearers of this joy of yours in this world. This time of Christmas, Lord, in our busyness, in our many gatherings or running around everywhere, Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us, to remind us what great news it is that you have come. What great news it is that you, our Savior, is amongst us. How you are with us day in, day out. How it is that you are the one who completes our joy. Amen. We're going to sing a song called Beautiful Savior. Let me encourage you to continue to reflect on the lyrics of what Jesus means to you and how he too can fill that hole in your heart.